From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour is made in your recycling box, where you and your family have meticulously set aside and cleaned plastic and glass containers, paper products, and more. From there, those products are picked up at your curb and sent to recycling centers, where they could be further sorted and reused. That's the assumption most of us have had, and until recently, that's what's generally been going on. But now, as reported by Steve Orr for the Democrat and Chronicle, recycling has become kind of a liability, not an asset. And here's why. It's expensive. Some say too expensive. China used to purchase and process a large number of American recyclables, but in January, it put a stop to importing those materials, and that triggered a broad market collapse, with American buyers not wanting to take the products. It costs them too much to process them and remove impurities. That means some materials are piling up in recycling centers, waiting for buyers, while others, like big amounts of glass, are going to landfills. What does that mean for the future of the recycling industry, your waste management bills, and the environment? And what should you do with those empty milk jugs and old newspapers that you throw in your blue bins? What is actually going to get recycled? This is a question that impacts so many people, and our guests are going to help us. And our first thanks to Steve Orr, Quality of Life Watchdog for the Democrat and Chronicle, along with some of his colleagues who've been working on this story. I thought it was just great stuff. And Steve, thanks for coming in today.
Oh, thank you. Glad to be here.
Also with us is Kate McArdle, Community Outreach Coordinator for the New York State Pollution Prevention Institute and a board member for the New York State Association for Reduction, Reuse, and Recycling. Is there a shorthand you want to use for that, Kate?
NICE R3.
NICE R3. So when you hear NICE R3, that's what we're talking about.
Yes, and P2I is fine.
Okay.
For New York State Pollution Prevention Institute.
What's the elevator pitch on what the mission is?
For the association? So I am a brand new board member, but really the goal is to educate community members, engage businesses and industry on the new emerging, whether it be technologies or solutions, to how to increase both reduction, reuse, and recycling.
All right. And Gary Carroll is here. Gary is a solid waste recycling specialist for the Erie County Department of Environment and Planning and a board member for the New York State Association for Reduction, Reuse, and Recycling. NICE R3, all the way in from the Buffalo area.
All the way from Buffalo. Happy to be here.
Well, thanks for taking the time, Gary. We appreciate that. Steve Orr from the Democrat and Chronicle. We're posting the piece. If you haven't read what Steve and colleagues have been working on, if you missed that piece, we'll post it on our various platforms. Tell us how the idea came together and the work that you ended up doing. And you mentioned briefly before the program, even some of the surprises that came your way.
Sure. You know, we had been reading through the spring, I guess you'd say, stories in some other papers, certain national level stories, Wall Street Journal and The Times did something about these upsets in the recycling market. And there were some pretty dire depictions of things going on in other communities of, you know, trucks full of newsprint being taken to landfills and warehouses being filled up with bundles of plastic and paper. So we wanted to find out what's going on here. We talked to, you know, Monroe County, Ontario County, Erie County, Onondaga County, the companies that run recycling centers, a lot of other folks. And what we found is that things are not quite as bad here, but still, you know, there are some reasons for concern. Paper, which, as you mentioned, a lot of it had been exported to China and other places over the years, the Chinese were no longer accepting paper, so it was a scramble to find somebody else to take it. And we found that in this part of the state anyway, all of the paper and cardboard that's being collected at recycling centers is being recycled, but it's being done at a loss to the companies that run the recycling centers. Essentially, every truckload of stuff they haul off to a mill, they lose money, because the mills are not paying much of anything for that material. So that's a problem. That we'll get to why that's a problem in a second. But what we then discovered, and this was the part that I freely admit to being surprised to, I'm not sure my colleagues here would have been so surprised, but we found that the glass, which makes up in Monroe County about 15% by weight of everything that goes in our blue boxes, was going to the dump. And it had been going to landfills for a number of years because there are no companies that want to buy that material, which is very impure and hard to reuse.
Wine bottles, beer bottles, other forms of glass going to the dump.
Well, the wine bottles for sure and other forms of glass. The beer bottles hopefully are going to be recycled through the deposit program, which is quite successful at collecting used glass, you know, beer and soda and water and plastic and reusing that. But the stuff that has no deposit, like the wine bottles, like pickle jars, like pasta jars, all that stuff, was, you know, people were, I mean, I'm thinking of our household, we would assiduously wash that out. We'd dry it. We'd put it in the blue box. They'd come and take it away. And I was assuming that somewhere else in the world it would be made into a new pickle jar or a new wine bottle. And instead it was going to the recycling center, running through that Rube Goldberg process they have to handle recycled material, being pulled out at the end, and then taken to the dump, where they use it to build roads, as they call it, and to act as cover for trash. Daily trash deposits have to be covered. You know, it has a use, but not the use that anybody would have anticipated.
Absolutely. So I have a question. I'm asking for a friend here. Let's say, hypothetically, you know someone who, after a long weekend in which there's a number of wine bottles and they don't want the neighbors to see all of those bottles in their recycling bin, you know, for judgments to be made, don't bother. They're going to go to the dump anyway. You can put them in your normal trash.
This is
no.
I would say it does ultimately depend on what municipality you live in, what company is servicing the municipality. So you, and that's part of this issue with recycling. You cannot make a lot of blanket statements, because one area of the state to another can be very different.
We did invite, by the way, Monroe mm-hmm. County to join us, and they declined to do so for this hour. But listeners, if you've got questions for Steve, Kate, and Gary, we're going to be talking about recycling, the current state of affairs with recycling, and the future. 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free. 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. And Steve, I'm just looking at another local paper, and we are very proud supporters of local print journalism on this program. This is from the Finger Lakes Times just last night. Casella says recycling market is declining, and they're talking about Casella Waste Services, operator of the Ontario County Landfill, concerned about the decline in markets and prices for selling recycled materials. It operates a material recovery facility at the landfill site. The concern, according to the Finger Lakes Times, is that even if they can find a market, the prices paid for those materials may be too low, so they'd need to drop them in a landfill. And of course, as Steve mentioned, the Wall Street Journal back in May had an article stating that the American recycling industry is breaking down, with prices for scrap paper and plastic collapsing too, leading local officials across the country to charge residents more to collect recyclables and send some to landfill. So before we get Kate and Gary to kind of tell us a little bit more about how they see what's going on, Steve, one of the first thoughts that come to my mind when I'm reading your piece is, if we want to recycle in the future, we're going to have to pay a lot more. Somebody's going to have to subsidize this if the market isn't going to want to or be able to deal with it. What do you see?
Oh, sure. No, there's no doubt. And I, you know, the way it's from community to community, the way recycling is paid for is different. And I know it's different, and it's different in Monroe County or Erie County rather. But here, it's largely subsidized already. You know, they get money from selling the materials. That revenue stream is way down. The rest of it is made up for by fees paid by customers, both residential and business customers. But here, nobody knows they're actually paying those fees. When you look at a bill that you get, if you live in the suburbs and you have a private hauler, you can look at your bill. It has the word recycling on it, but it doesn't say 10% of this or 15% of this is going to pay for the recycling program. It's in there, though. And so the trouble with that for us is that we can't tell you how much that's likely to go up. But they have started to go up. They're going to continue to go up because companies like Casella and Waste Management are losing money, and they're not in the business of losing money. So there, you know, there will be. They have the ability to just raise those fees on their own. Now the city is a whole separate, confusing ball of wax. They're locked in on a deal with the county that covers recycling, but the city, well, we won't even get into the city. For now, there's no rate increase apparent anyway to city residents related to recycling. But everybody else, it's going to happen, or has already.
All right. So real quick, because we're getting deluged already, and I knew this, we would do this. Everyone just wants to know, tell me real quick, what exactly is going to be and is not recycled? So, Steve, you mentioned bottles. A lot of glass is not right now in Monroe County. What else? You're putting paper in your recycling bin.
Everything else here is being taken to market. So if you put office paper, newspaper, cardboard.
Plastics.
Plastic, metal, all that stuff is being separated out and is being sold, bundled and sold to companies that reuse it. The problem really is a financial one. Yep. In other parts of the country, that stuff isn't being sold because nobody wants it. But here, there are markets. A lot of the paper, I think, goes to Canada, which has always been a big buyer of recycled paper from this part of the country. Some of it goes overseas to who knows where, India, Southeast Asia. But it is being sold. The program's still working. It's just the economics of it are kind of turned on their head right now.
Okay, Kate.
So a couple of points. First of all, thank you so much for having me. And,
sure.
And thank you, Steve, for this terrific article and bringing light to this, because I think it is something that people wonder from the community level. And here in Monroe County, we're really lucky that we have both the Eco Park and that we have the resources to provide consumers. So if they have a question, residents, they can go straight to the Monroe County website, which is monroecounty.gov. /recycling to find out those specifics. So the message loud and clear to residents here is to continue to recycle. Continue to put those items and bottles.
Glass.
And glass here, yes.
Okay.
So a couple things you can do. One of the things that I think came up in Steve's article is that many of those items, I think it's up to 20%, a little bit lower here in Monroe County. But the problem is that we don't have a clean stream, right? So the thing that residents can do is continue to wash them out, make sure that they're clean and that they're dry, make sure that there's no food contamination. So don't get lazy and throw your pizza box into the recycling bin with the couple of slices of pizza in there, because that will completely mess up the system.
Before you go for it, can I ask you, because if we do that, then what happened? I mean, I want to envision what that, does that mean everything in that little section that gets contaminated by that, you just have to throw it all out, or is it just more arduous to clean it?
It is. It creates a problem on the back. We have single stream recycling, so all of that is going together. It creates a problem for the folks that are, when it's sorted, yes.
And more likely that stuff then just doesn't get recycled at all?
That will increase the likelihood that it goes to landfill.
Well, the thing to bear in mind is one of the indirect results of this big upset in the markets and the activities of China, where they have refused entry to a lot of recycled material, is all buyers of recycled material, both plastics and paper, have gotten much fussier, because the impurities, the contaminants in the waste stream is what one of the things that caused China to close its doors in the first place. So now buyers in Canada, in the United States, in India, in Thailand, they're all much more particular, and so they will not accept a bundle of waste paper that has too much plastic mixed in, or they won't accept plastic that has too many particles of your old pizza box in it, or your old pizza.
All right, so what we're learning so far is definitely keep recycling everything you've recycled, be even more meticulous about cleaning it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And just one last item there. There's the thing that people will do, I spoke to Lou Ann Meyer from the county before this interview, and it's a term that we use all the time, which is wish cycling, right? So you're not quite sure if it's recyclable, but you throw it in there hoping for the best. Don't do that. Again, we want clean streams. We want to make sure that the item is actually recyclable. And I think Gary is going to talk about single-use plastic, maybe. I can see him.
Well, I was just going to say that issue really coalesces very well with cleaning the stream, because it does mean rinsing your bottle, but it also means exactly what Kate is saying. If you're not sure, if it doesn't follow the rules, it should not go in your recycling bin. And I think that is probably the biggest misnomer that people just don't realize. They think, oh, this should be recyclable, so therefore I'm going to put it in. And that is the type of contamination that is really messing up the system. Mm-hmm. So you're getting these plastics that don't belong. You're getting the dirty stuff that is problematic. So that really, going to the website and looking at the menu, I know that sounds basic, but that's really important. Maybe, use that one piece of paper, print it out, and put it back on your fridge. I mean, I think
such a good idea.
That might be
something. It should be in everybody's kitchen or homes.
Yes.
Right. And office, too. I mean,
absolutely.
Hopefully we're recycling everywhere. And, that's another issue. A lot of offices are having trouble because the companies know that you're not as good at the office as you might be at home. As the sign up says, your mother is not here, clean up after yourself. It's the same thing. If you're recycling it in the office, you've got to rinse it out. You've got to follow the rules. And I think that's something that people, are, you know, not as, don't do it as commonly.
Okay, but now that we've kind of got the current landscape, it looks to me like it's going to get, I'm concerned that it's going to get worse. I'm looking at a CNN Money article from April saying China, as we've been talking about, of course, was a major buyer of recycled material from the United States. 2017, China stunned the recycling world with a ban on imports of 24 articles of solid waste, and a ban on 32 more took place this year, going into next year, with no real significant market emerging to take China's place. So is this going to get more difficult, more expensive, more rejected materials? Is that what we're looking at?
I think it may, I think it may. Certainly here we've been luckily locally, and we have incredible resources both in the county, and New York State has a lot of resources which we can get to and I'd love to talk about. But I do think that we need, with any of these complex environmental issues, we need to be thinking in an innovative way. And it's going to take both consumer and resident education, but also we're going to need to push businesses, industry, and also our municipalities to think creatively to solve this problem.
Okay. And this is a market. And just like every market, it goes up, it goes down. And presumably, it will go back up again. So that's the other thing that I think we all have to keep in mind. And even this issue about what is and isn't recyclable right now, if there is a commodity that doesn't work for a couple of months, the companies cannot turn around and say, okay, don't recycle this particular thing. That's not going to work. So we do have to be able to know that these companies are doing the right thing, even if they do have to dispose of material short term.
And that's the issue with glass, Evan, and that's why your friend, with quotes around it, should not throw those 10 wine bottles in the trash can on Sunday evening.
Eight.
Okay. Because, as people told me, so yes, right now in many parts of the state, that glass winds up, you know, treated and then processed and then goes to the landfill. But people that run recycling programs are loath to say, okay, stop recycling glass, because what they hope and what could easily happen is a company could wheel into town 6 months later and say, we found this great use for recycled mixed glass. We want every pound you can give us. And there is none, because, you know, and the point is, it's taken so many years and so much work by so many people, government and non-government, to get people to this level of knowledge they have now about what they should be recycling, that people are just, the people that run programs are really reluctant to undo that, because they know how hard it would be to re-educate people yet again if things change.
So. Absolutely. So every piece of glass still going in there, cleaned from residue, but keep going with the glass. By the way, yes. Before, I know Kate wants to jump in, I want to do two things here. We mentioned the menu that everyone should have. It's monroecounty.gov/recycling, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And I assume if you're not listening in Monroe County, which many of our listeners are outside of Monroe County, your county's, Gary, should have a menu on their site?
If it's not your county, then it's your municipality. For instance, in Erie County, we have a link to every municipality, because in Erie County, each municipality handles their own garbage and recycling. That makes things even a little more complicated, because I could move one community over and there's a different company that picks up my recycling. It's changed. It changes what can and can't be recycled. So that can be very confusing, and I can understand where people get frustrated.
It's a great point. I'm definitely going to print that out there and stay with the glass. Listeners, if you've got questions, we're going to come to your phone calls in a moment. To Deidre and Fairport, hang there. It's 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. Kate McArdle, you want to add more to this? Kate, by the way, is with NYSAR 3. That's New York State Association for Reduction, Reuse, and Recycling.
Yes, and P2I. So Steve Orr set up a great point with the glass and as an example of why we need to continue to have these streams. One of the things, at our work, the New York State Pollution Prevention Institute is located here at RIT, but we're funded by the Department of Environmental Conservation and have been for 10 years through the Environmental Protection Fund. And the idea of the institute is that we are working to support sustainability for businesses and community across across the state. And what that means is that we have a team of engineers that are looking at some of these challenges and are ready to support businesses that are looking to solve some of these challenges. So whether it's engaging in new research and development or, you know, remanufacturing and reprocessing of some of this material, we're connecting those companies with resources, whether they be the researchers and the awesome work that's being done at RIT or our new partners. So we just got another 5-year contract, and we actually utilize the technical research up at Clarkson University up in the North Country, RPI in Troy, and now our new partners, which are Cornell University, you may have heard of, in Ithaca, and SUNY Binghamton. So we are able to take all that information, and one of the things that we saw a couple of years ago was that we had this challenge. You know, the DEC was, we all knew in this world with recycling that glass was becoming an issue, and so there's actually a company here based in New York State, downstate, called Urban Mining, that is utilizing this glass stream right now. And I don't know if they came up in your research at all, but I brought a case study for Steve. And what it's showing is that, I mean, we talk about, yes, it's just going into paved roads, but we can find other uses for this glass. And one of the studies that we showed was actually shows that there is less energy being used, 80% less energy being used than typical cement, Portland cement, in concrete, as a result of incorporating that glass. So if you think about it from a greenhouse gas perspective and climate change, we're actually making, you know, it sounds like we're just throwing it away, but there's some uses for this. So again, just reminding people that, one, continue to recycle, because there's people that are taking, you know, are going to solve this problem and work through some of these issues. Again, we still need to focus on the reduction piece and the reuse piece. And that is really the message we need to continue to talk about, but that there are resources in New York State, and we're lucky to have those resources here.
And if I can, I mean, Kate, is a great reminder, when you're purchasing or buying, if you're buying a product made out of recycled materials, it has had less impact on the environment than anything that's a virgin material. So that's something that everyone has to keep in mind when, you know, why we're continuing to recycle, the impact on the planet, and the fact that consumers do have this choice, not only in what they buy before they recycle it, but in buying recycled, because that gets back to your question about markets. We can strengthen the American market if we buy more recycled material.
Okay, so I've got a ton of questions from listeners and comments, and what I want to do is we'll work through some phone calls, emails, tweets. We're talking recycling and Steve Orr's work and the Democrat and Chronicle. And you mentioned some of your colleagues as well. I mean, you always mention the work. Who worked on this piece, Steve?
Erica Bryant, our columnist. She and I did a lot together.
Yeah.
She, in the end, didn't have a lot of time when we finally had to write it up, but she's been into recycling for a long time. She's a big booster of it and has written about it a lot.
Yep, and Steve is a quality of life watchdog for the Democrat and Chronicle. His recent piece on the state of recycling has us asking questions and trying to learn more about the current state and the future of recycling. Deidre in Fairport, first on the phone. Go ahead, Deidre.
It's Deirdre.
Oh, Deirdre, yes.
He's either side of the D. I just had a comment, and I wanted people in Monroe County area to know that there is a company that does food recycling, because such a large percentage of food in this country goes to waste, and then that affects the climate issue. There is a place called Community Composting, and you can go online to find them. It costs a little over $1 a day, and I figure the earth is worth that much. They give you a bin, then whether you want every 2 weeks or once a month, whatever you decide, they pick it up at your door and give you a clean bucket. And I think that's a worthwhile thing because of the amount. I think it's like the third most important thing that we can do to change the problem with climate problems is to do something with the food waste.
Okay. Deirdre, thank you. Kate McCardle, you want to take that?
Thank you so much for bringing that up. We at P2I and certainly at NYSR3 are talking about the issue of food and food waste. And there's a ton of resources here locally in Monroe County. So she mentioned community composting for residents. And also, I know you've had Impact Earth here on your show, Evan.
Yep.
Great resources for residents that want to reduce their food waste and don't have the capacity to compost at home. Another thing that P2I is doing at RIT is working again directly with businesses on how, as food manufacturers or large companies like hospitals, universities, can reduce the amount of food that's wasted, so in pre-production, but also how they can divert food waste. And I know many of the large universities are doing that as around locally as well. So one plug real quick too. I know that a yearly NYSR3 does an organic summit. So they move that summit around the state. They've been doing it, I think, this 2 or 3 years now. And they move it around the state. And Rochester has just been chosen as the location of the conference for March. So maybe you'll have us back, Evan. We can talk about food waste in
March.
Yeah,
in almost 5 years of hosting the show, I don't have stats on the most calls and emails and tweets, but when we talk composting, it is amazing. The questions, the comments people have on that. So, yeah, we'll certainly do that then, and listeners, probably sooner than later, we'll hit composting again, because I know the questions are out there. So thank you for that, Deirdre. We have so many really interesting questions from listeners, and let's just kind of rip through some phone calls here, because we've got a lot to work through. Adina in Rochester next. Go ahead, Adina.
Hi, yes, this is off topic, but I was wondering if you saw textiles in the future of Monroe County, like the ripped and the stained textiles, because I know the rest of the stuff can be donated, but there's nowhere to put the ripped and the stained rags besides in the garbage, and I have bags of them, but I have nowhere to donate them to.
Adina, great question. Thank you. And by the way, that's not off topic. I mean, the question right. that we're part of what we're trying to tackle this hour is, what does the future and present of recycling mean? So textiles, Kate McCardle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, textiles, certainly an issue we've been working around on the state. And at NYSR3, we actually had a textile summit across the state recently. And there are a lot of great resources. So if you go to NYSR3.org, there is actually a textile link you can click and plug in your zip code, and it will tell you where to donate your textiles so that they get reused. The markets for textiles are also challenging, again, the recommendation there is, even the ripped, even the stained, there are places to send them, and a good percentage of those are being reused into new products like carpets and other cleaning wipes and things like that. So certainly NYSR3.org to go and check to find out where to donate your textiles. I think, Gary, do you want to add anything to that?
I would just caution with the stain. Oil type stains, they do not want.
Okay.
But if it's just a red wine stain on your favorite shirt, that type of thing can be recycled. And you would be surprised how many places that we think do not take these items, the ripped and the used, do take them. And are able to sell them and keep the money locally.
So now, is it correct, though, that I cannot put my shirt with the wine stain in my recycling box at the curb?
That is very correct, Steve.
Okay.
Do not do that.
Specialized recycling.
Thank
that would be wish cycling.
Don't do that. That
yes.
would be wish.
Thank you for bringing that up, because you're right. That could really confuse people. Yeah, yeah. We're talking about finding the specific places to take these items, as we do with e-waste and things like that.
And on the subject of wish cycling, which, again, what a great term. I had not heard that term until recently. But the idea of just throwing something in the bin, hoping it could get recycled, not generally a good idea. Check the list. Be sure, because what you don't want to do is contaminate other viable recyclables. Chris on Twitter says wish cycling is a real problem. Unfortunately, web resources have conflicting information. Does anybody know if Tetra Paks are recyclable in our system?
I know they are in Erie County, but I'm afraid I don't know about Monroe County.
We'll have to go to the county and ask them that question. I don't feel like I have.
Right. But go to the website. I mean, it's going to be very clear on the menu if those.
My gut, I don't think they are, but we would need to double check.
Okay. But yes, in Erie County?
Yes.
To Tetra Pak.
Depending on who you're, who's servicing your municipality. So again, check. But a majority of them, I believe, do.
Okay. All right. So, Chris, good luck with that. Let me get back to your phone calls. And Marilyn in Rochester is next. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Hi. I've been recycling since before 1970 when the first Earth Day. And I find it very hard to get things recycled. People throw a lot of stuff away. And I wondered if anything was, I know there's stuff out there, new research and everything. And I'm wondering if there's any way we could get more people to get into the recycling and the companies to use less packaging, especially that plastic stuff. And I mean, I've got so many ideas, I don't know where to begin, but my concern is all the plastics in the ocean is only going to get worse. And if we don't rectify that situation, we're all going to drown in plastics. So I just wondered.
Yeah, there is question that our use of these single-use plastics is beginning to really show the problems. And it comes back to the two other R's that we've talked about, reduce and reuse. That is something that people really do have to take seriously. And it as simple as bringing your own bag, bringing your own cup, and maybe not taking that straw if you really don't need it. These are things I think that we don't think about. And that the consumer really controls. And this, I think, gets back to this question about excessive packaging. The companies are going to respond if people stop purchasing these items that have excessive packaging. You have to...
Are you looking at the Blue Aprons of the world, the meal prep services?
Well, I personally can't say I know that particular product, but I'm thinking of the super plasticized toys and things that we see that, you know, is that really necessary? Just all this packaging, a third of what we what potentially can be recycled is just packaging. So that can change. And then this also speaks to Amazon and all the ordering that we're doing online. And how are those things arriving? And are you recycling that properly? And what about those peanuts that, you know, can't be recycled?
Yeah, what about styrofoam? We just had a question from Rob about styrofoam.
Actually, Monroe County, if I understand this, they do some packaging styrofoam.
Not for residential styrofoam, just the packaging large scale.
Packaging, not packaging peanuts?
So don't put styrofoam in your recycle bin, please don't.
But do what with it?
It goes in the garbage.
But packaging peanuts, one thing that I have found with that, and this goes back to reuse, you go to a mailbox type store, they're happy. Hopefully no one will shoot me for this. They're happy to take that material. They have to buy it. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to bring them a box of peanuts for reuse, that's one place where the reuse in that particular material works. Call first. Mm-hmm. Don't just show up at the store, but that's one area. And now, if you've noticed, though, a lot of that has changed. Now things come surrounded in paper rather than those peanuts.
And so, this, by the way, shows that the menu will work. Producer Megan Mack sends me this from Monroe County's website. No foam, commonly known by the trade name styrofoam. It cannot be placed in recycling bins regardless of number. Foam, meat trays, egg cartons, coffee cups, takeout containers, or other small post-consumer items have no local recycling option and should be placed in your trash. The EcoPark will accept clean, white, block packing foam only.
Yep. There you go.
That's
from Monroe County.
Yes.
So the information is there.
Yep.
Claudia writes to us on Twitter, loving this conversation. I work for a local college and just learned that the auxiliary service company that manages food and catering for the college does not recycle because it's, quote, not possible locally. Seriously, that's their reasoning. I mean, Steve Orr, when you do reporting on this, you and I both talked about what we do at home. I think we have to get thinking in an office mode, too. When we leave our homes, it's almost like we leave where we can recycle. It's not true.
No, it's not true. And this story that we wrote just recently dealt with residential recycling. And I didn't delve into, commercial recycling, but all businesses, including restaurants and catering services and food services, can engage private companies to handle their recyclables, to handle their waste paper, their cardboard, and if I'm not mistaken, probably their food waste, at least some of it. So any no reputable company, I would think, should in a city this size should be saying, oh, we have nobody to do our recycling for us, because that's just not true.
Plenty of people to call, right? There's plenty of people to call. So one, there's resources in Monroe County. You have the website, but also P2I, where we're a statewide resource. But certainly if there's challenges, we're looking at supporting businesses from both the procurement. So as Gary mentioned, you know, how do I purchase something that's going to be have the least impact? So businesses should be thinking about this, and they are. That's the exciting thing, is that you see companies that are shifting their models. And interestingly, now with, I think, what is it, 40% to 50% of the workplace will soon be millennials, and millennials care about this. So when you're talking about building businesses and industry locally, they want to be working for companies that are going to be zero waste and thinking about this model and this idea of a circular economy. So it's important.
And when you're talking about food waste, this is, again, something that, as individuals, we can have an impact there, just like, you know, making the buying decisions. But it's something like we are wasting 40% of the food that we purchase at home. Mm-hmm. So right then and there, I mean, just like recycling in general, this stuff, it makes financial sense. You're going to buy less, you're going to spend less money, you're going to waste less. So with food waste, it's the same way. And now with what you can recycle, people are hearing this, people are understanding. Let that impact your buying decisions.
All right, we have skipped the break because we're going to try to get as many listener comments and questions as we can. We have blown up with email and phone calls. If you're on the phone or if you've emailed, we will try to get them all in with our guests as we talk recycling. We're here because Steve Orr and the Democrat and Chronicle put out that fascinating piece on the current state of recycling in Monroe County, the state of the market, what's going on in terms of possible buyers for recycled materials or recyclable goods. And we'll post Steve's piece so you can read it. Kate McArdle is here from we call it NYSAR3 and P2I. P2I is the Pollution Prevention Institute. NYSAR3 is NYSAR3.org for more information. Gary Carroll is also with NYSAR3. He's solid waste recycling specialist for the Erie County Department of Environment and Planning and a board member for NYSAR3. Okay, so here we go. Back to the phones. And I've got Mary Lee next. Go ahead, Mary Lee.
Hi, thanks so much for doing this show. This is a really important topic. And a quick shout out to Community Composting. I use them. They're wonderful. I highly recommend it. Very cost effective, and it's a good thing. I'm just wondering if anybody on the panel is aware of, you know, similar to the recent push from plastic straws to paper straws, are there any, you know, is there any legislation in process or people working toward that to require companies or even grocery stores like Wegmans to, when they really need to use packaging, to use plant-based plastics that are biodegradable, as opposed to, you know, I go shopping and I'm just trying to weigh out, you know, do I buy this because I really want these fresh greens, but they're in this plastic container? Can I leave the plastic container with the cashier? And, mm-hmm. you know, it's complicated, but I would really like to see a lot less of that. And I feel like big companies kind of need to be taken to task on that.
Mary Lee, thank you. So there's two issues there. Number one, biodegradable plastics. And then is there any legislative push to make change there?
No legislative push right now for individual businesses on those issues. A lot of education campaigns and support from the state and from other organizations that are working on these issues to educate businesses to make changes. I will make a couple points on legislative items. I know there was an item that didn't get passed this past spring on the single-use bags, plastic bags, and there's another legislative item that really had P2Is looking at food waste reduction for businesses, and that was one to limit food waste for businesses that produce more than 2 tons of food waste a week or more. That didn't go through, but I know it's an important policy for the governor that he wants to see through, and we're continuing to do the research and the work to get businesses to kind of get to those demands. But other than that, Gary, do you know of any other legislative?
I do not. I mean, my thought especially with food retailers, I mean, obviously, this plastic packaging also is keeping items fresh. So there is a balance there that we have to think about. So You know, I firmly believe that these companies like Wegmans and Tops in Buffalo, they are looking at their bottom line. So they're going to be making these purchases based on cost effectiveness. And I know that they work very hard on recycling what they, you know, the excess material. They produce the food waste. I know Wegmans has been working for years now and collecting all their food waste. So I think you can at least feel good about that our stores are looking at this stuff. Unfortunately, I'm not an expert in packaging of food, but yeah. I know that's part of it, is keeping it fresh.
Certainly. And one of the things that P2I, on top of it, of all of the other work that we're doing across the state, we do provide funding for research and development. And one of the largest packaging science universities departments is actually here at RIT in the nation. So there's an incredible amount of research and work going into designing packaging, not only that reduces impact environmentally, but also there's technology to actually keep food to last longer in the packaging. So designing packaging to almost be smart, you know, smart packaging to keep food fresh. So a lot of work being done locally.
You want to add to that, Steve? Anything you got there?
No, only on the food waste front. I know, as Kate said, that I talked to the DEC about that. Because part of the long-range solid waste plan in the state is to have universal collection and composting of organic waste, including food, including at households. And I asked them about that, and they kind of hemmed and hawed on the residential part, and clearly they don't want to go there yet. But they were talking about their interest in getting legislation through that would cover the commercial sector, the big users and wasters of food and other materials. And they hope that can get through. The residential part, which is now consigned to the community composting and other, you know, nonprofits and maybe some local governments and then private companies, that universal municipal organic waste composting is a ways away, I think.
Okay.
But what's incredible is that now there are incredible amount of resources. So for municipalities, if they want to create change and bring in, when we talked about the challenges, financial challenges, DEC does have the Climate Smart Communities funding source, which is up to $9 million for municipalities across the state. So what they need to do is have an action plan, right? So the city of Rochester has a climate action plan. They need to have a plan to meet some of these goals, whether it be with food waste or recycling. You can go through the list. There's a number of different areas that you can focus on as a municipality. Create that plan, and then you can apply for funding through the state to kind of work on some of these issues and build the capacity to deal with some of this.
And I do know, I think the city of Rochester is interested in at least testing a residential organic waste program.
Okay. Let me get David in Aurora next on the phone. Go ahead, David.
Hi, I'd just like to bring up the point of the end result of plastic, making of plastic, and it's being broken down into very minute product particles such that it's in our food stream right now. The fish that we eat, a lot of the other foods too, they contain small minute particles of plastic. Susan Arbiter actually spent about an hour, your colleague there in Albany, dealing with water, and this is one of the things that she discussed on her hour-long program.
Yeah, thanks very much, David. Well, that's certainly one of the goals, is to use less plastic. And as Gary made the point, I mean, it's been an amazing invention in a lot of ways. And we get it, RIT. You can invent packaging that is almost bulletproof, and that the only way to get it open is to slice our fingers and our Your packaging is amazing, but let's see what we can do next with it. It's going to be fascinating. David.
There is, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead, Gary.
Local researcher at SUNY Fredonia that has done a lot of work, Dr. Mason.
Sherry
Mason, thank you. One of the things she's recently discovered is that all of our beer has plastic in it because, of course, beer is made from water.
Somebody at this table is working on a story on that topic right now.
Oh.
So just keep watching your Democrat and Chronicle, and you'll learn all about... I am not going to reveal which beer has plastic in it, although I do know. But you'll see.
When? How soon?
Got to finish it by the end of the week, so whenever the powers that be put it out there.
Awesome stuff.
Okay. And Sherry Mason, if you have never had her on your, have you had her on your program? Mm-hmm. She's wonderful. You really need to get her on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She's terrific.
Yeah. Amazing.
I always love to get good ideas there. All right, so a lot more to work through. I'm going to keep reading and taking calls. Carly says, Evan, Germany is exemplary in their recycling standards and practices. A movement at the federal level would be a great step in the direction of sustainability for us. Talk about wish cycling. The Germans use a green dot on recyclable products, and the recycling tax assigned to the purchase depends on the amount of packaging materials. This, in turn, pays for the recycling process. So for your guests, is there any hope for something like this, at least statewide? How can we unify to succeed? That's from Carly.
I think the one thing that we really have not addressed or haven't discussed is the fact that we are in an area that it is relatively inexpensive to throw things away, which is not the case in Germany. So that the cost drives, you know, a lot of the government legislation there. So that's something that we're up against. And I'm not sure how I'm not sure that's something that you fight, but it has to be taken into account.
Okay, anything you want to add on overseas
I would just add, we're not Germany, but we're, in terms of looking forward and trying to find solutions with the challenges that we face, which we will face some of these larger challenges than we already are. I liked the piece, Steve, you mentioned our dear colleague, Andrew Radin from down the thruway in Syracuse. And his point was, we need to solve this, I think he said, economic development challenge with reprocessing, remanufacturing, reuse. So we have a nationally known remade institute now at RIT, and that makes me hopeful that we will get, maybe not to Germany, we don't want Germany, but we want something where we are using these materials in an innovative and new way that is also cost effective for these companies, but reduces the amount of waste that's going to landfill.
Okay, so many good questions. On the subject of other countries, we had a call from a listener. Oh my gosh, we've had so many calls. I'm looking, oh my gosh. Somebody was asking about one bag a week. Where is that? There was an off-air call. There it is. Chuck in Pittsford says, why don't we limit our trash to one bag a week like they do in Canada? They recycle a lot more. Is that true? Do we know?
Canada,
a drive to Canada, Gary. You're like right there, man.
Yeah, it's next door. Canada does recycle more. However, again, their cost structure is so very different from ours. It's hard to compare. But there is a way of disposing of your garbage called pay as you throw. And that's what that's all about. You pay for the bags or the garbage that you get rid of. And that has proven to be a great way to reduce our garbage, increase our recycling. But very few municipalities that I know of follow that.
Okay. Yeah. So let's do like a lightning round in our last 5 minutes because we have so many questions. Tracy says, I've recently had a coffee shop refuse to fill my travel mug stating health law. Is there any truth to this? That's in Ontario County.
I can't speak to Ontario health laws, but no, nothing that I'm aware of. And I would just not go there again.
Probably tell them, say, look, if you're not willing to do this,
I'm not going to support
your business.
Make sure that you communicate, right? And I am not aware of any health department laws in Ontario County that limits them from doing that.
Betsy says, good grief, I didn't know styrofoam doesn't recycle. I see a danger in many people like me, assuming we all know that we know all there is to know about recycling. Is it crazy to hope that there will be a print booklet of recycling do's and don'ts? I would even pay for it. I think you just got to get on the website menus there.
Also, you can get a free magnet through the county if you go onto their website. You can put it right on the fridge. I think that was Miss Luann Myers' design with her team and Mike Garland over there. You can go onto the site, you get it sent out to you, and it's a great reminder of what can and can't be recycled. So there you go.
And besides the difficulty in recycling styrofoam, the other part is that it takes up so much room that it actually could not be picked up. If we were all recycling our styrofoam, it would fill up the truck, and then this would add even more to cost. So that's, again, gets back to, your buying decisions.
Okay. Thomas writes and says, in case you haven't covered it yet, since you can't recycle plastic bags and films in your Rochester recycling bin, like dry cleaning, bread bags, etc., I wanted to mention that you can return them to stores that accept their plastic bags back. They're all made from polypropylene, so as long as they're clean, you can bundle them with your shopping bags and return them to Wegmans and other grocery stores. True?
Yes, yeah. True. Oh, sure. And that's up to 8% of the waste stream.
Okay. That's a very good one. By the way, Carly wrote back around the coffee shop. She said, the coffee shop rejecting the reusable cup, that's incorrect. Health code says baristas can't touch the top or part that the mouth touches.
Hmm. Well, and that's true. They always ask you to take your top off. So that makes sense.
Okay. Let's see here. Chris on Twitter says, I work in the industry. I agree that some materials are trading at lower values, but other materials are trading at higher values. And much of the problem these recycling centers mentioned in the article are experiencing is the quality and cleanliness of the material. Steve Orr?
I'm sure that's true to some extent. As was said earlier, I mean, the prices do go up and down. Maybe some prices have started to rebound, but as I noted before, yeah, the problem, and as this caller or emailer says, you know, the problem, one of the problems now going forward is the quality of the recycled material and the new standards that all of the purchasers of that material are applying. They just don't want it unless it's clean, and getting stuff clean is really, really hard.
All right. Drake says, it's hard enough to get people to actively recycle. Having to look and see if it is accepted in their area is an extra step that will deter people even more. I don't have a problem with wish cyclers. They should just hire more people to sort through recyclables. That, to me, Steve Orr, talk about cost.
Well, you know, they have hired more people. I mean, because of these new standards we just talked about, I talked to both Monroe County and down in Ontario County. The companies that run those places have already had to go out and hire more people, and they're doing exactly what this caller describes. But there, I think there is a limit to how much they can and will do that. I mean, sure, they could go out and hire 100 more people, but they would have to pay them, and then the caller and everybody else, all the other customers, would have to pay for that. So, but it is true that's one sort of interim solution is more labor, and they've already done that.
Okay, and lastly, Dan, and I say lastly, I got 20 more, but Dan, I'll read this real quick from Community Bikes. Our friend Dan says, how about refuse to use plastic containers when alternatives are available? Simply switch from soap in a plastic bottle to bar soap. Make your own deodorant from readily available ingredients. Shave with a bar of shaving soap instead of an aerosol or plastic tube. And he says you could also recycle your bikes to us at our Community Bikes as well.
Way to go, so, Dan.
Lots of different things to think about. Steve Orr's article, we're going to post it on our various platforms. You got people thinking and talking about this, Steve. Thank you for the great work. We appreciate that. And DemocratandChronicle.com every day and always, of course, with your subscription. Kate McCardle from P2I and Nice R3. I know you're busy. Thanks for making this work today.
Thank you for having us.
And our thanks to Gary Carroll for coming in from Erie County as well. Thank you, Gary. MonroeCounty.gov/recycling or your local municipal for the list. Put it on your fridge or keep it in your kitchen. Clean and keep doing it. All right. Thanks, Rob, Megan. I'm Evan. Have a great day.